of Genesis. Last week we looked at the third chapter of Genesis. This week we'll be looking at the fourth chapter of Genesis. I'll begin reading in verse 1. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why are you wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire. Thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where's thy brother? Where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. That's reading from the fourth chapter of Genesis down to verse 11. And I pray that these scriptures will be for our good and for God's glory today. I introduced a few weeks back a subject that I have tried to mind map and fully explore. I ended up with a variety of different titles and subjects with respect to this subject of those voices that entreat us. The voices that entreat us. And we began looking at Elijah and the still small voice that spoke to him in his state of hopelessness. And you might say that we've noticed that there are voices of contradiction. There was not only the voice of hopelessness, but there was the voice of hope. There's the voice of truth, and there's the voice of error. There's the voice of love and the voice of hate. There are contradicting voices. Last week, we noticed the voice of temptation. The voices of temptation. There's the voice of Satan, and there's the voice of God. And there's a voice, a good voice in our conscience, and there's also that evil voice, that depraved nature within us that allures us to evil. The Bible talks about the seducing spirits. There are voices of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and there is the voice of the Holy Spirit and the voice of divine truth. It speaks to at the same time. And it's important for us to be able to distinguish and to be able to discern between the voice that will bless us and the voices that will curse us. I fear there is a lack of ability today for people to be able to discern and distinguish the voice of good versus the voice of evil, the voices that entreat us. I had initially jotted down this one aspect of voices that entreat us, and I never really planned to try to develop it in any way, but it is obvious and is something that is taught in the Scriptures, and that is the voice of blood. The voice of blood. And I have some cross references in connection to the statement that God makes to Cain, that the voice of thy brother's blood speaketh from the ground. The voice of thy brother's blood speaketh from the ground. Now, there are other places in the Bible where it talks about the voice of blood. And I want to reference some of those verses, and I covet an interest in your prayers. This morning I feel very weak, and my thoughts are a bit scattered. In the New Testament, there's a reference to the voice of Abel's blood in contrast to the voice of the blood of Jesus. And you'll find that reference in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, and also Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24. I want to read a couple of those cross references because I want us to really grasp the fullness of this subject and the importance thereof. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, it talks about the sacrifice that Abel offered up unto God. And it was an acceptable sacrifice. Cain, however, he brought a more pompous, a more pretty, he brought flowery things and such as food. But Abel offered up a bloody, gory sacrifice of a lamb. Now the world is somewhat put off and offended that the gospel has a blood sacrifice in it. But I'm telling you, you can't be redeemed without the redeeming sacrificial blood of Christ. In whom we have redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of sin. I had started to revamp my website, and I had put in the header a video from the Passion of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ bearing His cross. And I showed it to several people, and I had just a lot of different feedback from those that saw it. Some kind of nodded their head. Some said, "Ooh, you know, that's a bit strong." I remember I was telling Aaron the other day, I said, "Well, you know, one of the things that bothers me about religious websites is they have no blood in them." Folks, we are only redeemed by the blood of Jesus. This cotton candy kind of Christianity will not save one single soul. Cain's offering of flowery, beautiful things, you know, things that appeal to the flesh and the carnality, That kind of offering unto God is unacceptable. But a blood offering, an atonement, a substitutionary atonement, redeems fallen man from his sins. It says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24. Well, let me finish Hebrews 11 and 4. The faith of Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, that by it he being dead yet speaketh. He being dead yet speaketh. Now I know that some of you that have study Bibles, there's probably a footnote of some manuscript where it was found that we still talk of him. But I believe that it is a present tense, and it was found like that in other manuscripts. And I believe that's what the King James believed it was actually intended by the Holy Spirit. That offering of Abel still speaks to us today. It speaks to us. Not that it's spoken of, but it speaks to us. It speaks to your Christianity. It speaks to your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks of what you are trusting in to take you to heaven. It speaks to that. It's blood that cries out unto you. And I pray that you'll listen this morning to the voice of blood. Notice in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24. Here is the a correlation between the blood of Jesus that was offered up and how it speaks versus the blood of Abel that continues to speak to us. And it says, "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." His blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, speaks better things than what is spoken of by the blood or the shedding of Abel's blood there by his brother Cain. I want to speak to you just for a few moments about this subject. And I pray that God will bless us just for a few moments in our consideration. It must have been a gory scene when Cain slew his brother Abel. I believe perhaps that Cain was awestruck by what he had seen. Now, we've seen stuff on television. I mean, you can watch the news just about every night and find some gory scene of bloodshed. There had never been a war. There had never been a battle. There had never been anybody else that had ever died. This was the first death. And it was a gory, gruesome murder scene that we find in this fourth chapter of Genesis. I don't know if he was all struck by the crimson soiled ground. There was no emergency response team. We know that these were the two sons of Adam and Eve. There was no police that came on the scene. There was no jury, no prosecutor, no prisons at this particular time. No one was there to punish him. I guess the only two that could have spoken some accusation against him would have been his mom and dad, but they were dealing with their own sins that probably were the culprit and even the cause of the slaying of their own son. When that blood was shed, I believe it's in the third chapter of 1 John where it talks about, and there's only one reference in 1 John, one Old Testament reference in 1 John, and John, by the Holy Ghost and by divine inspiration, he references one story in the Old Testament, and he has reference to Cain slaying his brother Abel. And in that statement, slain, there is the Greek word that has reference to how he died. He probably died the same kind of death that was laid to the lamb, having reference to his throat or his jugular vein being slit. That's how the Greek word kind of uses that. But when that blood was splattered, when it was spilt upon the ground, there was a mystical voice that went up into the very presence of God and spoke to God. It reached the very heart and the very ears of Jehovah God. And God comes down and he approaches Cain and speaks to Cain in our reading lesson and asks Cain, "What have you done? What have you done? What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood crieth to me from the ground." And suddenly Cain knew that blood could not be spilt without consequences. He had murdered his own brother. Murdered his own brother. In the book of John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, it tells us why he hated his brother and why he murdered his brother. He murdered his brother because his deeds were evil and his brother's deeds were righteous. Righteous. I don't know, what do you think that voice said to God when it reached heaven? What do you suppose the voice of blood said when it came into the very ears of Jehovah God? I know this much, that whatever it was that it said that there had to be some judgment. Judgment. It spoke words of judgment. It spoke words of condemnation. You can read on in here about the judgment that came upon Cain. This could not go unnoticed. One of God's creatures had been brutally slain. No, more than that. One of God's children. Abel was the first martyr. He died for his faith in the sacrifice. That's why he died. He died by faith. He died having putting his trust in the upcoming Messiah that would shed his blood on Calvary's cross. I don't know about this experience of Cain. But I know this. The blood of Jesus speaks a lot better stuff to us. You know, this crime, because of sin, I read one time that in each one of us, is the seed and the capacity to commit any and all evils that have ever been committed in the earth. That's part of our depravity. The seed is there. You may not carry out the action, but the seed is there. The seed is there. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm telling you, the seed is there. All we like sheep have gone astray. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The seed is there. But this spilling of blood, the voice that it spoke condemnation. It spoke judgment. Judgment for the offenses and crimes that are committed. I suppose there are crimes that are committed. I know there are. There are crimes that are not fully punished. But there is a judge. Amen? Their voices cry out. The blood of their voices cry out unto a just God. And there will be a just recompense. But if this voice of blood by the spilling of Abel's blood upon the ground spoke to God, then the voice of the blood of the shedding of the only begotten Son speaks much louder. He was brutally taken and dragged to judgment. He was falsely condemned. They shouted, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" They nailed the only begotten Son to a cross. The blood from his brow and from his back and his thighs, and from his hands that were nailed and from his feet, that blood ran down from the cross and spilled out upon the ground. I can almost see it in my mind's eye as they watched the blood drip to the ground. According to these scriptures, the blood of Abel was not voiceless. And according to these scriptures, the blood of Jesus is not silent. Abel's blood, I think, speaks against the whole human race, of our propensity to sin, and that there's judgment to come. I believe the shed blood of Jesus Christ speaks for us instead of against us. That there is a way of mercy provided to where we can be cleansed from our guilt and from our shame. It spoke not worse things. It spoke better things. That's what the Bible says. The shed blood of Jesus Christ speaks good things. The shed blood of Jesus Christ speaks good things to you. We do know that while he was shedding that blood, there are many good things that he said. One good thing he said to those that were even putting him to death. He cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And so we have two voices represented in the voice of blood. One of judgment, which we find in the voice of the blood of Abel, and the second, the voice of Jesus, His blood that speaks mercy, one of judgment, one of mercy. I thought of that verse, I believe it's in the book of James, chapter 2 and verse 13, where mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Mercy is greater than judgment. Amen? Can have victory over judgment. I think one of the things that has brought me to this place this morning is all afternoon yesterday, I spent it at the hospital with my cousin. Nobody else was there. Nobody could get there. So I felt compelled to stay with him. And he had an aneurysm in his heart that exploded. He went through a long, extensive surgery. They closed him up. He was still bleeding. They opened him back up. He was laying there in the ICU with his chest open and a tube draining his blood as it went to the floor to a little pump. With all that blood that was pouring out of his chest, it represented death. They constantly would come in and hang bags and put blood in, which represented life. One represented death, the other represented life. At times when they would empty that blood, it would dribble out on the floor. They would spill it as they took it to dispose of it. That represented death, that spilling of blood. But there was blood available that provided him life, that kept him alive. Folks, I'll tell you something. We today have blood that keeps us alive. Blood that gives us life. Our sins cause death. But the sacrifice of Jesus provides life. In Him is life. And that life is the light of men. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm convinced that the sacrifice of Abel was a testimony. You know, sometimes we think of Cain, and we think of Cain by, that he was an atheist. He wasn't an atheist. He went to church to worship God. It says in earlier in verse 3, he went to the place of worship. He at the appointed time, on a Sunday morning, he went to the place that God had designated where there was an altar. He went to church. He was a religious man, not agnostic and not an atheist. He believed in God. Believed in God. He was a religious man. Cain was a religious man. He came to worship God. You know, you look down through history and some of the greatest haters of the truth were religious people. Some of the greatest haters of the true God are religious people. 50 million Baptists, they were called Anabaptists at that time, during the Dark Ages. Some of them were crucified like Jesus. Some of them put on stretchers. Some of them whipped. Some of them just left out for dead. Many of them, 50 million martyrs, shed their blood. We read over in the book of Revelation where that the souls are beneath the altar. Those were the martyrs, and they were crying out to God, "How long, God, before you rectify this injustice?" I'm telling you, there's coming a time when God will rectify the injustices of the world. And particularly and more specifically, those that have been brought against His church and His children. In fact, you can make the case that the worst persecution that the church has ever experienced was by man-made religion. And you know what? It wasn't an atheist that really crucified the Lord. It was religious folks. It was a bunch of Jews that thought they were worshiping Jehovah God. But they didn't know the true God, and they had a twisted, perverted way of worshiping Jehovah God. But they're the very ones that crucified our Lord. What we have here is Cain, who was a religious man. He didn't bring the right sacrifice because he had this self-styled religion he wanted to hold on to. Boy, we've got a lot of that going on today. A lot of self-styled religion. This cotton candy kind of stuff, you know, that appeals to the flesh. There's no question in my mind that he would have been accepted if he would have brought a blood offering. God makes that very clear here. If you do this, if you'll get your act together and quit holding on to your works for salvation and trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you will be accepted. That's what he says. Pure and simple. Rather than bringing a sacrifice, which God had asked for, by the way. Look, blood sacrifice was the only thing that ever accurately and appropriately was a shadow of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Rather than bringing a sacrifice, which God had asked for, he brought fruit. Fruit of the land. Fruit of the land. Something he had done with his hands. He had toiled to produce this fruit. He had toiled to produce this fruit. And he had actually produced this for himself. But he brings it to God. And he wanted a relationship with God based upon his own accomplishments. Can we see that here? And God says, I'll never accept you by your works or by your own accomplishments, but if you'll come the blood way, if you'll come the sacrificial way, you will be saved. You know, trying to come to God based upon your own accomplishments has never worked and it never will work. There was a sacrifice that was offered for us. Now, even though he was worshiping the true God, he was doing it the wrong way. He was coming the wrong way. And his heart was wicked, the Bible says. And he was trying to get there by works rather than by a sacrificial offering for sin. And God has no regard for that. None whatsoever. And so we read in verse 5 of this reading lesson that Cain became very angry. And his face fell. You know, God just makes it real plain. He said, Cain, just deal with your sins. Really? I mean, he talks about sin lying at the door. He said, look, if you don't deal with your sins and get your act together in coming to me the right way, then this thing is going to escalate. Sin is crouched at the door. And it's going to master you. It's going to take over in your life. It's going to destroy you. And sin does exactly that. Destroys people. And we see the outcome of this. His heart became hard. He resisted this. He decided he'd have a big talk, a theological discussion with his brother. And they were out there talking in a field. And he slew his own brother. Slew his own brother. Well, Abel put on that altar a lamb, a bleeding lamb, a lamb bleeding from the death of its wounds. It was a gory spectacle. But that's the spectacle that God had chosen to represent the death of his son. Now, I know that Abel's blood still speaks, and we're under condemnation. When you think of all the sins that humanity has piled up, that pile or that heap of sins are very great. But the voice of the blood speaks much greater. And there's grace available for every sin. Don't you believe that? I imagine in my mind's eye, as I had little time to prepare this, but I imagine in my mind's eye the blood splattering upon Cain. I don't know if Cain ever felt guilty for this. I know he felt guilty about getting caught. And there was great suffering that followed him all the days of his life. He became a marked man. The very ground that took in that blood became a curse to him, greater than the curse that was given to Adam and Eve with thorns and thistles. It wouldn't produce for him. He had trouble all the days of his life. A darkness, a dark cloud followed him all the days of his life. I'm telling you, sin causes great guilt upon the soul. Sin splatters the soul with a curse. Sin splatters it with great heartache and great pain. But I'll tell you, there is the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus that cleanses and sets you free. Amen? Yeah, it speaks. It speaks liberty. It speaks grace. It speaks mercy to you. And though you may hear a voice of guilt because of the splattering of blood or some sins or transgressions that you have committed, there's a voice of cleansing when the sprinkling of the blood of Christ comes upon your soul and upon your conscience. It gives you forgiveness. It gives you cleansing. It gives you peace. Peace like a river. When you Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Amen. Oh, I've heard the voice of that blood. Amen. Speaking to my sin sick soul. Well, there are sins and the impact that it has. You know, I was reading the other day that about rearing of sons and daughters for our men's conference. And the statistic is that your children will impact at least 600 people in their life. 600 people. Your rearing and raising of those children and how you rear them and raise them, they will impact the lives of 600 people through their lifetime. It's astounding, isn't it? That's astounding. We never know what consequences our sins bring upon others. The impact, the dominoes effect that happens out there. The mass murderers of this world, they had fathers and mothers and grandmothers and grandfathers. They had people that influenced them, teachers and friends. We really don't know the impact our life has on others. But we do know the impact that sin has had on us all. God has said that the voice of His Son's blood speaks good things to us. I appreciate you listening to me. The Lord Jesus Christ, His death on the cross, was the great sacrifice. He took our place. Amen? This is not just somebody dying, His blood being spilled out. That should have been my blood. He was taking my place. He was a substitute for me. He was a substitute for you. That blood that was shed and spilled out should have been our blood. But He took our place. The great testimony of Abel is nothing compared to the testimony of Jesus Christ. This was righteous blood. Amen? It was a perfect life that had been lived. No. He was the only begotten Son. He was God manifest in the flesh. This was divine life that was being shed and given for our redemption. Divine life. So the testimony of Jesus is much greater than the testimony of Abel. Abel's testimony still speaks to us. There's only one way, and that's through the blood. And it spoke to every generation and every age and continues to speak today. Only way you can be saved is by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Only way. You got to put faith in His blood. That faith in His blood. Oh, I'll tell you, that blood speaks today. It'll speak forgiveness to you, eternal life. It'll give you what you need to get through this life and into eternity. As we stand and sing a verse of some song, is there somebody here? We know that the blood of Abel and the blood that's been shed, the crimes and the sinfulness of man speaks condemnation. It speaks judgment. It cries out for vengeance. Oh, but listen to me. The blood of Jesus speaks justification to us. It speaks peace to us. It speaks cleansing to us. It gives us life. One spoke of judgment. The other speaks of mercy. Aren't you glad there's mercy? Amen. It's like was read this morning. His mercies. Why does His mercies endure forever? Because blood was shed that you might be saved.